So Hare Krishna, I want to greet all of you from my heart. Thank you very much for coming for this evening program of Krishna Consciousness. This evening, because it is hot and because we are in Croatia, I want to talk about relationships.
Smisao. Savršenstvo čistog predanog služenja dostiže se kada je sva pozornost usmjerena na transcendentalno služenje gospodina s ljubavlju. Presjecanje svih drugih osjećajnih veza ne podrazumijeva potpuno odricanje od plemenitih osjećaja, poput privrženosti nekom drugome. To nije moguće. Živo biće, bez obzira na svoj položaj, mora osjećati ljubav prema drugima jer je to simptom života. Simptomi života, kao što su želja, srdžba, žudnja i naklonost, ne mogu se uništiti. Samo se cilj mora promijeniti. Želja se ne može poraći, ali u predanom služenju želja za zadovoljavanjem osjetlja mijenja se u želju za služenjem gospodina. Takozvana ljubav prema obitelji, društvu i zemlji sastoji se od različitih oblika zadovoljavanja osjetila. Kada se ova želja preobrazi u želju za zadovoljavanjem gospodina, naziva se predanim služenjem. U Bhagavad Giti možemo vidjeti da je Arjuna želio odustati od borbe s braćom i rođacima samo da bi zadovoljio osobne želje. Međutim, kad je čuo gospodinovu poruku, Šrimad Bhagavad Gitu, promijenio je odluku i služio gospodina. Zahvaljujući tomu, postao je gospodinom slavni bhakta jer je u svim svetim spisima potvrđeno da je Arjuna dostigao savršenstvo predanog služenja gospodina u prijateljstvu. Sve je bilo tu. Borba, prijateljstvo, Arjuna i Krišna, ali Arjuna je postao druga osoba zahvaljujući predanom služenju. Stoga molitve Kunti Devi ukazuju na iste izričite promjene u djelovanju. Šrimati Kunti je željela služiti gospodina bez odstupanja i to je bila njezina molitva. Takva čista predanost krajnji je cilj života. Naša je pozornost obično usmjerena na služenje nečega što je bezbožno ili nije u planu gospodina. Kada se plan promijeni u služenje gospodina, odnosno osjetila pročiste služenjem gospodina, to se naziva čistim, neokaljanim, predanim služenjem. Šrimati Kunti Devi je željela to savršenstvo i molila se za njega gospodinu. Njezina ljubav prema pandavama i vrišnjima nije odstupala od predanog služenja, jer su služenje gospodina i služenje bhakta istovjetni. Kada je služenje bhakta vrijednije od služenja gospodina? Međutim, ljubav koju je Kunti Devi osjećala prema pandavama bila je uzrokovana rodbinskim odnosom. Takva je ljubav utemeljena na materijalnom odnosu bila plod maje, jer tjelesne i duševne veze postoje zbog utjecaja izvanske energije. Odnos između duše i vrhunske duše je istinski odnos. Kada je Kunti Devi poželjela presjeći obiteljske veze, tema je mislila na tjelesni odnos. On je uzrok materijalnog ropstva, dok je odnos duše s dušom uzrok slobode. Odnos duše s dušom može se uspostaviti posredstvom odnosa s naddušom. Gledanje u mraku ne može se nazvati gledanjem, ali gledanje po svjetlom sunca znači vidjeti i sunce i sve ostalo što nije vidjelo, što se nije vidjelo u tami. To je put predanog služenja.
Yes. Have you ever felt in your life this feeling that, oh, I just want to have a relationship to Krishna? Have you ever felt this feeling of being limited in your other relationships, your human relationships? I'm sure you must have felt those moments where you tried very hard in a relationship, but it seemed that after some time, everything went wrong. You were misunderstood. You tried to express something, but it made things even worse. And you felt confirmed that, yes, I'm looking around in this world and I see only very few relationships, especially in this age of Kali or in this present time, are spared from misunderstanding occasional strife and quarrels and so on. Maybe some of you have developed a very, let us say, reserved attitude towards any type of relationships, because they have experienced from their relationships, whenever they give themselves entirely into a relationship, they seem to be disappointed. And sometimes they have experienced, okay, I'm not now disappointed, but if I look around, I mean, where are good friendships and where are good relationships? Maybe in the future I will also be disappointed. Maybe I will be told, no, this is my granica. Don't come closer, please. Queen Kunti, who is praying this prayer tonight, is very seriously thinking about relationships. And she does what many spiritual people have done in the past. She took the pain which she experienced from relationships in this world as, you could say, as an impetus or as a strong force to bring her closer and deeper into the relationship with Krishna. I would like to read again Queen Kunti's prayer with you. It's a very nice prayer. Tvayi menanya vishaya Matir madu pate sakre Ratim utvahatat ada Gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of the Madhus, O Krishna, as the Ganges river forever flows to the sea without any hindrance, let my attraction, the attraction from my heart, be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. What made Queen Kunti speak this prayer which is so symptomatic or so characteristic, or should we say so typical, for many, many, many spiritualists who followed after Queen Kunti and who also later adopted this prayer as a daily function. It's a very moving story which brought Queen Kunti to this realization. And I do believe that we can learn many things from this story in our own, what is called, Ekanti Bhakti. Ekanti Bhakti means focused bhakti. Our affection in Ekanti Bhakti becomes focused only on Krishna. Now, I know that some of you are insecure in relationships and therefore are maybe afraid of this lecture. And I want to tell you before you start listening, don't be afraid. It is possible to have meaningful relationships. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada says, it is natural to have such relationships. He says that when we speak of fixing our attention only on Krishna, it doesn't mean that we now cut off the tie of all other affections. he says this is not possible. Complete negation of finer elements like affection for someone else, that negation is not possible and also not desirable. He says a living being, whoever he may be, also a Croatian, must have feelings of affection for others. Because, he says, this is a symptom of life. You must have. If you don't have affection for others, this means you are not really living. You are half dead. Haribol. So, still, the exclusive attention or affection to Krishna is important, and we hear if you love Krishna, you automatically you will find it easier to love others. You will find it easier. So, but why is Queen Kunti, mother of five glorious sons, saying in this prayer that she wants her affection to go only to Krishna? One verse before, she said, O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe. These are all names for Jagannath, huh? The Lord of the universe. Please cut my tie of affection for my kinsmen, means my relatives, like the Pandavas and the Brishnis. Why is she saying like this? What disappointments and what, let me say, yes, betrayed expectations led her to make such a drastic statement. Listen very carefully with your mind fully switched on, and you will understand something very deep today. Let me just place my leg here. I want to go with you to the Ganga. Please follow me. There we see a wonderful boy. He has earrings. And if you look closer, he has an armor on his body, made of silver. He has just turned 16. His name is Radheya. And like many young people, he's in a crisis. He cries at the bank of the Ganga. Why am I so different? My father is a chariot driver. He's good with horses. And he expects me now to take to the family profession, profession, and also become a horseman. And I don't like horses. I don't like to guide horses. My arms and my soul and my heart is itching to fight. I want to shoot with a bow and battles. I want to defend what is right and kill thousands of those who are wrongdoers. I like to pick up the sword it's called in English. And I like to put my life on the stake. I don't want to be a horseman. Why am I so different? I should feel like my father, but I don't. Let us turn to the question, why is this boy so different? Why doesn't he feel satisfaction to be in the battle as a chariot driver who drives a Kshatriya warrior? Why does he want to take up arms and fight? I don't think any one of you would like to do this. It's a very terrible thing to do this. Well, to answer this question, why he is so different, I want to make a second journey with you this evening. I want to go with you to the capital of India, Hastinapur, 5,000 years ago. There we see the Queen Kunti. Her heart is filled with guilt and with fear. You must know she is known in the kingdom as of the mother, the glorious mother of five children, the five Pandava princes. They are strong like young lions. But in actuality, she has another son, a sixth son, and nobody, absolutely nobody except she herself and Krishna know about this. You must know, she got her first son under strange circumstances. It's a long story, but to make it short, she one day served the mystic yogi Durvasa so nicely. He must have been hungry, and she supplied a nice meal for him. Durvasa felt so absolutely satisfied with Queen Kunti that he promised her a boon. Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which she could call any demigod whom she wanted to call. Now, when she received the mantra, she was curious. She was a beautiful young girl. And she thought, let me play with this mantra. It's almost like, you know, mantras. There are mantras who are different from the Hare Krishna mantra in many ways. And one way is they are magical mantras. The mantras, you can speak a mantra, shoop, I would like to know this mantra, and then rain comes. But she had received a mantra by which the powerful rulers of the universe was coming, and she said, Om Suraye Namaha. Nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, as she looked towards the sun seemed to come closer. Oops! The sun came so close that it was in the window, and out of the sun, chung, the powerful demigod Suryadev, Vivashwan, appeared. It looked down at the princess, who went, oh, Vivashwan, I'm sorry, I must have disturbed you. I can't look in your eyes and in your face, but you may now leave. I'm sorry that I called you. Vivashwan said, no, I can't leave. First, I have to give you a child. Oops. no, it's all right. If I get a child from you, I'm not married to you, I will never ever be able to marry again. Suryadev said, beautiful princess, don't you be afraid. I will give you a child and your virginity will be kept intact. Do you know what is virginity? Yes, how do we say in Croatian? You will, in other words, not be like a woman who has been a mother, who has become a mother. So, what could Kunti say? The union took place, and only a little later, she had her firstborn son. This son was very special. He was born with earrings and an armor, a silver armor, and he had the neck of a young bull. He was so strong. Queen Kunti, in order to save her reputation, you know, so that people wouldn't talk about her as having born in a child outside of the marriage, huh? Made a decision which she would regret for the rest of the life. She did something which, you know, everywhere in religious history, Moses, it was done to Moses, it was done to, I believe, Ramses, the Egyptian king. You know, she put the little boy into a little basket, which she painted with some tar so that it remained waterproof. And she put this little basket with a little boy, Slatki boy, on the Ashwa River, and the Ashwa River eventually carried the little boy to the Ganga. She sobbed. Sobbed means she cried. And then she whispered to the disappearing child, "My dear, I'm sure I will see you someday in the distant future. And I will recognize you by your kundalas, that means earrings, and your kavacha. I'm giving you now in the hands of God. Please forgive your foolish mother." And then she broke down and fainted. Can you imagine a princess having to give her child into the hands of Ganga? How she must have felt. Her heart must have been torn into two pieces. One was her love for her child, and the other was the fear of being thrown out of the palace and being called a prostitute who had a child before her marriage. Oh, Krishna, this is very bad. Years rolled by, Kunti married, and she had sons, and the sons were trained by Dronacharya in warfare. Do you know what happened to the little boy? Well, he was in the Ganga. It was a pleasant ride. He was you know, he was a son, the son of the sun god. He was not an ordinary person like you and me. He was a divine child. And I believe this is a drama, a true drama coming. You know, all of us in some ways are a mixture of divinity. We are divine children of eternity, but we have also our human history. And this boy has a very, very, very dramatic human history, but he never forgot that he was a divinity, a person from a divine source, you know. Anyways, he was eventually found by a woman called Radha, who couldn't have children due to some biological problem she had. And, you know, she was bathing in the Ganga and then saw this little basket coming by. And when she looked inside, Slatki, Slatki, there was this Slatki boy. She thought, yoo-hoo, there's no mother around. Now I'm the mother of this child. And she took the child, and so much affection was there that milk started to flow from her breasts, and she nourished and took care of the little boy, whom she called Karna. Karna. But Karna had this problem. Everyone told him he was the son of Radha and Atirata. Atirata is the husband of Radha. But he simply did never feel like being part of this family. You know, he soon became very strong, big muscles. When his playmates played with him and wrestled, I mean, he became so strong he could wrestle with a lion and just laugh at the lion. The lion couldn't do anything. He was just so extraordinary strong. And he just didn't know why he was so different. Please remember, when you were young, did you also feel different when you were in your family? I remember I felt totally different, and I suffered from this. I would always climb on trees when I was young to be as close as possible to God. And I climbed on very high trees because I wanted really to be close. And then everyone wanted to play with me. And I remember I didn't want to play these groovy plays, you know, like we were, our village made like a little mafioso group. And I was the leader, and I didn't really want it. And once the leader from the other village came, and there was war between the groups, and I had to be the one who fought the war, and I really didn't want to do it. And then finally, I remember everyone pressed and pushed me, and just to get it over with, I decided, okay, I would fight with the leader of the other gang. And I remember I was able to fight really good when I was a non-devotee. And at the end of the fight, this boy was lying on the ground, totally unconscious. And the ambulance had to come and take care of him. And I was the winner of this fight. It was a very important fight, you know, a young boy's fight. And I cried, and I begged forgiveness, and I went to the hospital, and I acted in totally untypical ways because I just didn't fit. I remember. Now, Karna, must have felt much, much more this existential dilemma, you know, of a person torn into two directions. And he was just so frustrated. And finally he decided, it's enough. I will not be a horseman. He ran away from home. He went into the Himalayas and he learned from the greatest of war teachers, the greatest of all, Parushuram. When he had learned all these mystical weapons, which could be sounded by mantras, Parushuram said, I'm very tired now. I want to rest. Can I rest on your thigh? You know what is a thigh? It's this part of the body. Karna said, yes, Guruji, sleep. Now, as Parushuram was sleeping, a worm came, and the worm ate into the meat of the thigh. Karna had earlier said to Parushuram, I want to learn from you. But Parushuram said, I only accept you if you are not a Kshatriya. Yes, said Karna, I'm not a Kshatriya. My parents are different. They are, you know, from the Shudra community. All right, said Karna, said Parushuram, but if you are a Kshatriya, you will get in trouble. Don't cheat me. Karna was sitting and the worm was just biting through his meat. Oh, it was so painful, but because he was the son of Surya and Kunti, he was a full Kshatriya. And Kshatriyas can tolerate pain like anything. It's not a problem. They have to be able to do that in war. They are trained like this. The whole training is like this. When I was in South Africa, there was this group called, amongst the black people, called Zulu, and they are all warriors. Do you know? You know, they were trained. They had to run over thorns. And if any one of them would scream in pain, you know, naked feet, bare feet, through thorns and over thorns, they were killed. So in this way, the Zulus became the most fearless warriors in the history of modern warfare. But the Kshatriyas of the old times, you could just take away their arm. They would continue to fight with the other arm. They were so resistant to pain. We can't imagine this. So after some time, the blood came from this wound and it came on Parushuram's face and he woke up. Blood. He looked at Karna, who was sitting there with a bleeding thing, because he didn't want to wake up Parushuram. Parushuram was so angry. He said, you are a Kshatriya. Why have you cheated me? Get out and I curse you. At the moment when you need your mantras most to fight against your deadly enemy, you will forget everything I have taught you. So he will overwhelm you. Oh, said Karna. But Parushuram was not there to waste even one more minute. Go, 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 otherwise I will throw my spear after you. So Karna had learned warfare. He had learned to become a Kshatriya. But he had received a curse that he would forget everything what he had learned for, I don't know how many years, I think like 15 to 20 years. He was very finished. Now, back to Kunti and the Pandavas. When they had finished their education under Dronacharya, Dronacharya invited them to show their skills in a specially built arena, and there the Pandavas fought, Schaukampf. Do you know what is a Schaukampf? It's a German word. Not a real fight. It was a simulatio. Yes, demonstratio. Demonstratski. And so on. Now, after everything was finished, and the Pandavas showed their skills, and Duryodhana and his 99 brothers had shown their skills, Arjuna was the champion. He was made he was crowned the winner of this game. Now, when he had just won, all of a sudden, Avarya announced himself at the entrance. The Avarya had two kundalas, earrings, and an armor. Oh. And with a voice which went through the whole arena, he said, "Pata," Pata means Arjuna, "whatever you have done, I can do, and I can do it better." At this moment, a cloud came before the sun, and it started to rain. Then again the sun came behind the cloud. You know, Vivashvan or Suryadev, the sun god, was wanting to see what is my son doing. And Indra, the father of Arjuna, wanted to curtail Suryadev so that he couldn't see anything. The Devatas were there. And Kunti looked at this mighty Varya, who walked like a mountain, whose earrings shone, and whose armor shone. And she recognized Moisin. And he is now challenging his brother Arjuna. So, okay, Arjuna was ready to fight with the mysterious Varya, when all of a sudden the question came, "Who's your father, young warrior? Announce yourself. Before you can fight with the prince, we have to know what is your ancestry. From where are you coming?" Karna was hanging down his head. He didn't know who was his father. Everyone told him a suitor, that is a chariot driver, was his father. But he somehow didn't feel it was right. At this moment, Adirata came. He was sweating. He was a big guy, you know. No, he had eaten a lot. And his cloth was oily because he used oil. And he came, oil stained it, and said, my son, and ran through the arena. "Don't fight with Arjuna. He's terrible." And he embraced him and he cried, And Bhishma said, ah, ha, ha. You are the son of a chariot driver. Don't dare to fight with Arjuna. You are good for nothing. Drive his chariot, you fool. Karna looked at him. At this moment, Duryodhana, who saw the tension between Arjuna and Karna, embraced Karna and said, you may have been the son of Adirat, but now I make you the king. I give you a kingdom, and now you can fight. And then the two began to fight. It was a fight I cannot describe to you. They shot one arrow at each other, and the arrow came into thousands. Then Arjuna shot an arrow which built up a defense system. It was a mountain. With all the arrows of Karna exploded. Then Karna took it was soon becoming clear that they were fighting, and it was almost a fight for life and death. And again, Indra, in the last moment, he took a thunder cloud, and a lot of rain came down, and everything became high like this, full of water, and the fight has to be stopped. Karna said, on this day I vow, I will never wash my feet again before I have not killed this arrogant Arjuna. He didn't know he was the brother. It's a very, very long story. At the end of the story, Karna is informed that the five Pandavas are his brothers. Kunti tells him one night before the fight, the Kurukshetra war, Karna said, Kunti, you have thrown me out when I was a baby. And Adirata saw me and carried me home and gave me to his wife Radha. Out of love for me, milk came from the breasts of Radha. She is my mother, not you who threw me out and who didn't even feed me. Now it's too late. You have kept a secret for too long. I curse you, and I curse all the women of this world. They will never be able to keep a secret for themselves from this day on, as true as I am Karna. Hare Krishna. Madhajis always have to tell each secret, at least to their best friend. It comes from Karna. So, finally, the two were meeting each other, and it was a terrible war day. At the end of the day, as the sun hides behind the clouds, Arjuna takes out his arrow. Karna is there on the ground. He says, just wait, just wait, just wait. I have to free my chariot wheel from the ground. Don't fight with unfair means, Arjuna, and throw your arrow when I am in a defenseless position. But Krishna tells Arjuna, now or never. He's too powerful. And he is on the side of Adharma. So Arjuna doesn't like to break the codex of warrior. But then he shoots the arrow, and when it digs itself into the chest of Karna, everyone cries, including Arjuna. And as the life goes out from Karna, he returns to his heavenly father, Suryadev. It's a very dramatic story. Queen Kunti hears about it and is silent. She cannot talk. Only on the last day, it's the day after the battle, when all the Pandavas are in the Ganga and give their ablution, that means their offering to those of their relatives who have died, Queen Kunti breaks her silence. She says, "You have now offered oblations for every one of your dead relatives, except for one." "Who is this?" asked Yudhishthira. "It's your older brother." "Our older brother?" says Arjuna. "Yudhishthira is the oldest brother, mother. There is no older brother. We are Panch, 5 Pandavas, not 6 Pandavas." "Yes," says Kunti, "you are 6 Pandavas." "My firstborn son is Karna, who has been killed by his brother Arjuna." And Queen Kunti says this. And you can't believe the pain in the heart of a mother who has seen or who has heard that her son has killed the other son. Oh, it's too much. Queen Kunti breaks down. And only a few days after this, she prays this moving prayer. She has enough of relationships, worldly relationships. She says, "I only know one relationship, and I want only one relationship. And I want that my affection, which is now distributed in so many relationships, becomes like the Ganga River, which single-mindedly, with overwhelming all the obstacles, comes to you alone, my dear Lord." You must know, some of you have been to Gangotri. Kishori has been. And you have been? Your good name? Zrinka. Zrinka has been. I have been. You know, when you go to the village Gangotri and then you go further, you see Mother Ganga, and within her there are a few boulders. Do you know what is a boulder? It's a big, big thing of rock. It's from here to Sinisha. There's big rocks. You see 2 big rocks. And they have been fallen from the Himalayas into the Ganga. But Mother Ganga, with her powerful hands, has moved these boulders, these rocks, out of the way. So this is Queen Kunti's prayer. She says, "Let everything come out of the way which stops my relationship to Krishna. I want that my affection is flowing towards Krishna like the river Ganga who flows into the ocean." So this is something which I wanted to present to you. Queen Kunti's prayer is not, "Let me not have relationships to anyone else." Her prayer is, "Let my affection, you know, take everything out of the way so that I can go 100% to Krishna. I think it is a valuable prayer, not only for the brahmacharis who are in the minority or the brahmacharinis. It's a prayer for every one of us. Because if we can have our relationship to Krishna fully intact, I believe we will be strong enough to go and work in the relationships which we either have by karma or which we have as a choice to help us in our Krishna conscious life. But you will see, especially in the age of Kali, pain is always coming through one road. There is one pain road in the age of Kali. And that is called relationships. Hare Krishna. There is always trouble in these relationships in this world. And we will only be strong enough to deal with the trouble and to deal maturely in relationships when we are able to have our affection for Krishna. This is what I thought to tell you. I know this is not a lecture which will make me extremely popular, but what to say? We have to tell the truth. It's more important than being popular. If a person is strong in his relationship to Krishna, he will develop very strong qualities like forgiveness, open-mindedness, and care. I think we have to say goodbye to our devotees from Sarajevo. Is this true, Irena? Irena and Ida, thank you very much for coming. Sretan put. Have a nice journey. And I will see you very soon in Sarajevo. And we should invite all the devotees from Zagreb to come also to Sarajevo. Is this true? Good. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, have a nice journey. So, we need... When I was in Calcutta, I had a lecture called The Path to Inner Satisfaction. And I told the people that inner satisfaction comes from two things. It is when we are able to love and when we are able to receive love. Then we feel inner satisfaction. Love, I mean, in different relationships, you know, friendships, marriage, whatever. The human being only wants these two things, to love and to be loved. That's all. But when you love on the material platform, without wanting it, you invite the five other friends of karma into the relationship, and that is greed and anger and illusion and madness and Hare Krishna, karma, krodha, loba, matsyaya, enviousness. Ugh. You know, yes, you are my friend, but what you just said and did. Hare Krishna. You know, you invite, in Kali Yuga, these things come in any come along. I gave the example that I had a friend when I was young. His name was Lorenz. Is Lorenz also a Croatian name? And Lorenz had very unusual friends. Lorenz's friends were all thieves. You know, he came from a different social background than our family, but he was very nice and he was my friend. So whenever Lorenz came, he came with his friends. And, you know, whenever he was there at our home, you know, the rings were missing from my mother's ring case, and, you know, some good whiskey was missing from my father's whiskey collection. So that finally, my father told Lorenz, "We love you very much, Lorenz, but we don't love your friends, because every time everything is missing when your friends have been there. Come without your friends." But Lorenz couldn't come without the friends. So, finally, my father told me, "Listen, you can't receive Lorenz any longer at home. Visit him in the forest. There's nothing to steal." So we always had to meet in the shumi, in the forest. Because yes, Lorenz's friends were just so impossible. So when you have a relationship in this world, you know, it's like this, that love and affection which you come, it always brings its other friends, you know, and they make the relationships just very difficult. They steal. So therefore, to protect ourselves, it's very important that we develop some snaga, some strengths in our relationship with Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is my lecture for today. Please come back tomorrow evening also. It won't be so heavy this evening. I only always give one heavy lecture in Croatia, and the rest are different. So you have survived it. Hare Krishna. Do you have any pitanyas, any questions? Ananda Gopal. Ananda Gopal is asking about relationships to devotees. Is it possible to have a nice relationship with devotees? What do you think, Ananda Gopal? It's possible. You don't sound very convincing. Yes. In psychology, we know body language. And what you just said was no. When I'm asked for something, is it possible? And I say, yes. Then I have really said no. Ananda Gopal, why are you so skeptical? Yes, you cannot have a relationship to Krishna without having relationships to devotees. It is said in our scriptures that you can't even reach Krishna without devotees. Krishna himself says this, that someone who says he's directly my devotee is not my devotee. Only he who says he is the devotee of my devotee, He is my devotee. So you need Krishna. Krishna demands it. You need to have a good relationship to devotees. If you don't, Krishna will not accept you. How is it possible to have a nice relationship with devotees then? There's a very, very nice purport. This relation of the soul to the soul, it's a spiritual relationship, can be established by the via medium of the relationship with the supersoul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. See, if I want to see you, if I want to have a relationship with you, Ananda Gopal, I first of all need to see you. And that seeing is possible by the light of the sun. In the same way, if I want to have any relationship, I need to see the person. And that seeing of that person is possible by the light of Krishna, the Supersoul. There must be Krishna in the relationship. For instance, what this means is when you are in the Brahmachari ashram and you have friendships, it should be a friendship, where the mission is also there. We go together on Harinam Sankirtan and chant the names of the Lord. Or when you have a friendship and you are a little bit in Maya, your friend should be invited to help you and say and preach to you and uplift your consciousness. Again, Krishna is there in the relationship. But if you want to have a relationship which is where you don't have a religious or spiritual basis, you just can't have it. I saw this very much in the I don't want to now say anything which makes me further unpopular. But I saw this very much in these areas where sometimes devotees try to have a relationship on the emotional level, which is an important factor in a relationship. We have to show emotions. We have to be with our, we say, with tooth and skin in the relationship, mit Haut und Haaren. With skin and hairs, we say in German. We have to be there with our emotions, with our mind, with our affection, with our creativity, with our all our faculties. But it's very important that we do this in relationship to Krishna. See, I have so many relationships to people who are on my level, and who also to older devotees and more senior devotees. And I have always seen, the moment I try to have this relationship on a Krishna conscious level, it changes. For instance, as a human being, I'm highly, highly critical with relationships. I only had a few friends when I was. And now I'm expected to be the friend of everyone. This is what a devotee is to be. And I can only do it if I see the people as not just as people, but as parts of Krishna. And then I can really help. Then I can listen to the girl who wants to make suicide because the boy whom she wanted to marry does not want to marry her at all. And I can listen with empathy and say, I don't commit suicide. I have to love that person to say it. Otherwise I would say, you will anyways not make suicide. You are just too cowardly. Don't tell me your foolish love story, But if if I'm seeing, this is a part of Krishna. I must try to say, to serve this person's spiritual advancement. Then I have a different concept. Or when someone hurts, you think, oh, there is a part of Krishna. Maybe Krishna wants to say something through this person to me. So it's only possible with Krishna.
Do you think God has a
division in love? He loves people more and people less. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I'm neutral to everyone, same love, but those who are my devotees, I love them more. I have special love for them. Now sometimes people say this is a weakness of God because he should love every one of his children the same. But Baladev Vidyabhushana says, no, it's the strength of the Lord, because the Lord is not just like a Kalpa Vriksha tree, a wish-fulfilling tree, who gives everyone equally, the murderer and the saint. But he is like a loving father who takes care more. This doesn't mean that now he hates everyone else. It means he... goodbye. Lakunoj. You have to go, huh? Please greet him from me. Your little baby. Hare Krishna. So, yes, it doesn't mean he doesn't care, but he cares specially for his devotees.
But sometimes it feels fair to someone when wants to believe God.
Yeah.
Then it's coming like, if I don't do this, then I'm getting fair that, oh, God has not loved me. So if I get fair, that means I'm moving back. So yeah. I'm scaring God. If you scare God, then how can you believe that? It means, who is scaring you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not... sometimes karmi says, I'm karmi, so God don't love me, and you are devoted. That means I don't grieve it as politician.
Tell him, why don't you become a devotee? See, Krishna has two types of love, either for the person who is a non-devotee. He takes care as the super soul, and he deals with everyone very fairly according to what the people wish, you know, and what they do, their karma. The super soul's love, or the Lord Paramatma's love, is to all of his creatures, but it is done according to the karma of the people. Krishna, in other words, looks, what does the karma of this person tell me? And then he rewards him. Now for his devotee, Krishna is not looking according to the justice of karma. Krishna loves the non-devotee according to just and fair principles. Justice, you did. But Krishna is prepared to love the devotee according to another principle, that is the mercy. He's very fair to the non-devotee, very fair, and he's very merciful to the devotee. If the karmis don't like it, what to do? Then, I think what you should avoid when you preach to the karmis is that you bring up the point of partiality. Even when the non-devotee turns to Krishna, immediately Krishna's love is there for him. But they need to turn to Krishna. They can't turn away from him and expect his love. That is inconsequential. If I want your love and affection, and I turn away from you and steal from you your beautiful Western wristwatch, can I expect your love? You will deal with me according to justice. You will say, give me back my wristwatch, then we can talk about an invitation.
Because I got one problem with a professional who is butcher, he cuts meat, because he loves God, his profession is that. And then I was inviting this thing, then I saw, you look at the effort God, and if you love, you love. I didn't manage to say anything, because
you may have been afraid to tell the truth because of social reasons. But if it's a serious person, you should, if you really care for him, you should tell him what is right and what is wrong. If you really care for him, you should do. If you don't say it, that means you don't care and you don't love him. If he is a serious person, if he is not sincere, then don't talk about these things. All right. So I thank all of you very much. May you be lovers of Krishna. May we learn from Queen Kunti that at such moments which we all know in our lives, we turn our full attention to Krishna. It's a very, very strong prayer, isn't it? Let my affection go to you like the Ganga which flows, removing all the obstacles. It's a strong prayer, but I believe that all of us in our lives are brought in situations where we should think about exclusive shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. I think life teaches us in this direction. Hare Krishna.